Hello everyone and welcome to iCritic Live, the podcast where we talk about entertainment, pop culture, and life in between. I'm your host, Kevin T. Rodriguez, film critic of iCritic.net. Thank you so much for spending a few minutes of your time with me here today. And at the moment of this recording, it is the night of the Oscars, and the Oscars have just finished. They finished about 20 minutes ago, I would say. So basically, after I had my Oscar party, said goodbye to everyone, did a quick little cleanup, I'm coming in here to record this, and you will be hearing it the day after the Oscars, hence the title. And, you know, this is going to be probably a pretty brief one. I wanted to discuss briefly the winners, the highlights, the negatives, and the first thing I'm going to say is, in terms of winners, there were not too many negatives. There's only one win that was outright, in my opinion, bad. And then there was another win that was disappointing, but taken on its own, not a bad win at all. So, as I always say, let's get the bad out of the way before we get to the good. So, I guess one thing that's a little disappointing, I was kind of hoping for an Oppenheimer sweep. I was hoping for, like, 9 to 10 Oscars. It won 7. Hard to complain about that, but it was a few less than I had personally expected. Now, the one outright bad win, in my opinion, even though I technically gave it 3 stars in my video a couple days ago, if you go to my YouTube channel, but ultimately it still wasn't great, is War is Over, inspired by the music of John and Yoko, which won for Best Animated Short Film. I think 95 Senses or Letter to a Pig or Pachydermy or Our Uniform, any of them would have been a much better win than War is Over. War is Over, I believe, won because, you know, one of the things you have to keep in mind when it comes to the Oscars is that there are branches that make the nominees, but once the nominations are put out there, everyone can vote on the finalists and nominees. And War is Over probably won by brand recognition alone. You see, inspired by the music of John and Yoko, well, guess what? People know who John Lennon and Yoko Ono are. They know what that song is. They're going to vote for it, whether they've seen it or not. It's besides the point. So, also in the Best Live Action Short Film, there was like a lot of talk that Red, White, and Blue, which is basically a response to the abortion bans that have been happening since the overturning of Roe versus Wade took place. Many people thought that one would win, but the Academy, who, again, it's once the nominees are out there, the general public Academy can vote. They weren't going to pass up an opportunity to finally give Wes Anderson an Oscar. So The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar won Best Live Action Short Film, which really almost touched the edges of the short film. It was like 39 minutes. And had it been just a little longer, it would have been considered a feature length film. Most live action shorts don't get that long. So, I personally was okay with the win. I think The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar is wonderful. It's as the title says. I think Red, White, and Blue, which starred Brittany Snow, who I've met for the record, and I thought that was a great one. I kind of felt like that would be the one to win because it would be the Academy voting for a message, if you will. But they didn't. They gave it to Wes Anderson, and, you know, I'm okay with that. Now, the original song was kind of a mixed blessing. It was Barbie's sole win for the night, and the song that won was What Was I Made For? So Billie Eilish and Finneas O'Connell get their second Oscars in a relatively short amount of time. So that's good for them. But I think a lot of people were a little disappointed that I'm Just Ken didn't win. But look, I'm going to be honest, folks, we should have seen this one coming because What Was I Made For gets radio airplay. It sounds like a serious song. I'm Just Ken is definitely a lot of fun. But if you put yourself in the shoes of a sophisticated voter who's like in their 50s or 60s or even 70s, you feel stupid voting for a song called I'm Just Ken. So it makes sense that it went this direction. So those are the disappointing aspects of the show. Again, even disappointing, they're still largely... I guess one more disappointing thing, and this was a big one, was that Emma Stone won Best Actress for Poor Things as opposed to Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon. That is pretty disappointing, all things considering. I really wanted Lily Gladstone to win an Oscar. That would have been a historic win. Emma Stone is pretty young. She already has an Oscar, so I'm kind of surprised that she's got 2 Oscars at such a young age already. But, you know, Sally Fields and Jodie Foster did something similar. I mean, if you're good, you're good. And taken on its own, Bella Baxter's a great character. And Emma Stone just killed that role. Yeah, she's naked in a lot of the movie, and I'm sure that definitely caught the attention of some horny Oscar voters. But at the end of the day, it's a great performance. I guess I'm also a little disappointed that Paul Giamatti didn't win for The Holdovers. No offense to Cillian Murphy. I hope Paul Giamatti gets an Oscar soon. I think he really deserves it. I also acknowledge that this might be Cillian Murphy's one shot to get the Oscar. I think Giamatti will be back because he's consistently great. All right, now for the really good things that I loved about the show. First of all, I loved that Oppenheimer won picture director. I think this is the first time in many years where my favorite movie of the year actually won best picture at the Academy Awards, so it's great to see that happen. It was great to see Robert Downey Jr. get some overdue recognition in best supporting actor. And, you know, he came such a long way. He had so many... I mean, Jimmy Kimmel made some jokes about the drug problems that Robert Downey Jr. had. And I could tell he didn't really appreciate that. But the thing is, it is a celebratory story. Like, hey, you used to get arrested a lot. You had a drug problem. And now look where you are. You're getting an Oscar. And you cleaned your life. I think that's a great triumphant return story. So I was really glad to see it. And Devin Joy Randolph, I mean, what an emotional speech. And if you're watching the show, it was great to see Paul Giamatti crying, so proud of his co-star for winning that Oscar. I hope she gets a lot more work. It was great to see Cord Jefferson get on stage, collect American Fiction, and basically chastise the studios for making all these $200, $300 million films. Like, he's encouraging, why don't you make $4, $10, $20 million films and make a bunch of them? And, you know, we're going to have to do an episode about that because, you know, that is something that Hollywood is really screwing themselves on. Like, back in the old days, studios could release, like, 20 to 30 films a year because they were low budget. And, you know, some of them didn't hit, but many of them did hit. And it was a great business model. And now they're, like, in the business of making two to three $300 million tent poles. And if just one of them fails, you've got a problem. And then if you're Disney, last year they had failure after failure, lost over $1 billion at the box office because their movies were just way too expensive. And so it's great that someone like Cord Jefferson uses his time to highlight that that is a problem. And it is a problem that Hollywood needs to come to terms with. I also want to note that even though they did not win, Sammy Birch was a nominee for the screenplay for May, December, and she was asked about Coyote vs. Acme because she helped write it. And she gave a very positive update. She says, well, I'm not completely in the loop, but I hear that they're still discussing it. It's not shelved yet. So, I mean, maybe we will see that movie. So keep doing the hashtag release Coyote vs. Acme. Keep writing the letters. If you're a shareholder, keep making demands to find out what's going on with that movie. But it was the only, I guess I could add it to another disappointing thing. So John Cena had this little bit that was very funny where they were celebrating the anniversary of the time that the Streaker streaked on the Academy Awards stage behind David Niven many years ago. And John Cena comes on stage naked, holding the costume design card in front of his junk. And it was a very, very funny bit, but it's like, it seems to be like a missed opportunity for him to do the streak while wearing a hashtag release Coyote versus Acme sign because he's in the movie. And I think that would have been really funny, and it really would have brought some national attention to this whole ugly situation that's going on with Warner Brothers right now. So I think that was a missed opportunity, but it was a funny gag even without it. I just, you know, would have hoped for that. Now then, for more fun things, I was really glad to see that Best Documentary Short Film went to The Last Repair Shop as opposed to the ABCs of Book Banning. If you saw my documentary, you know that I really disliked that one. Agree with the message and principle, disliked heavily the execution. I think The Last Repair Shop was a much better win. I believe that that is the emotional one. It was great to bring one of the kids who, you know, was given one of the instruments up on stage to hold one of the Oscars. It was a wonderful moment right there. I was glad that when 20 Days in, Mirapol won, the director spoke for, you know, the Ukraine effort and spoke against the Russian invasion and called for an end to the war. That was great. I was so happy that The Boy and the Heron won Best Animated Feature. And this is a important win for a couple of reasons. One, Hayao Miyazaki gets an award for his final feature. It is the first 2D animated film to win, like hand-drawn, in this category in 20 years. Last time it happened, it was for Spirited Away by Hayao Miyazaki. Also, this is the first PG-13 animated film to win this category. And look, I'm not saying that G and PG films can't be adult films, but I mean, this category has been referred to as the Kiddie Award for a long time for a reason. So it's great to see a truly adult, sophisticated movie winning this award, and it feels like the category kind of grew up a little bit. Now, it wouldn't have been terrible if Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse had won again, but keep in mind, there's going to be a third one. That one will probably win, so... But that was kind of the highlight for me, was that The Boy and the Heron did win Animated Feature Film. So, yeah, there was just a lot going on. The show was pretty smooth, pretty funny. And the thing is, it was pretty apolitical for the most part until the former president of the United States had to tweet a review of the Oscars and call Jimmy Kimmel a bunch of names. And Jimmy Kimmel, of course he's going to have to shoot back. And he shot back, well, thank you for watching, Mr. President, but isn't it past your jail time? And, you know, there's people online who are upset that he made that political joke, but it's like, you know what? I think Kimmel did a really good job, for the most part, not getting into those jokes. It was pretty apolitical, except for the couple of speeches that were appropriately political. And if Trump didn't tweet that, or truth it, or whatever it's called on Truth Social, Kimmel wouldn't have responded, and Kimmel had every reason to respond. I mean, I'm sorry, you go on the internet and you call a guy a terrible Oscar host and say all these nasty things. Why wouldn't you read that on the air and take a swipe back? So, you know, there you go. So, you know, that's the 96 Academy Awards, and overall, pretty good show. Now we just have to wait for next year. Oh, one more good moment I forgot to mention. It was really, really adorable when Godzilla Minus One won Best Visual Effects. All of the visual effects artists walked up with their little Godzilla statues. One of them was painted gold. They were probably like, well, we're just here for the ride and we're going to enjoy it. But then they won and they looked so happy to win and so surprised. So I felt really good for them, even though I honestly don't think it should have won. I think there are other films that looked better than that one, but oh well. So folks, we're going to end this episode here. If you are watching this on like YouTube or something that allows comments, I'd like to know what your favorite and least favorite Oscar moments were. Otherwise, if you are listening for the first time and you like what you hear, let's make it official and subscribe. You can do so on Spotify, Apple, Google, Deezer, whatever podcast platform you use. And I will see you at the movies. Take care, everyone.